It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hi, and welcome to podcast, the Howard Eskin podcast, episode number 13. That's the lucky number. In this podcast, we talked to former Eagle linebacker, All-Pro Jeremiah Trotter, who will talk about the Eagles. That's a prediction for the Eagles. Why it's easy to dislike the Cowboys. We talk about all that stuff. And also, when we come back from listening to Jeremiah Trotter, we're also going to talk about the season and, you know, the things that I believe will happen this season for the Eagles. The 76ers, and was Markelle Fultz the best player to be picked in the draft after the Summer League? Now, the Summer League's a Summer League, but we'll talk about it. Was he the best player to be picked in the Summer League? So we'll talk about that, the Eagles, and the Rookie of the Year. Who will be the Rookie of the Year in the NBA? And how many games will Joel Embiid play? And what are the Sixers doing to the fans in terms of the ticket prices? So we'll talk about that. But first, let's hear from Jeremiah Trotter. All right, I'm here with Jeremiah Trotter, former All-Pro linebacker for the Philadelphia Eagles. The Axeman cometh. And he's coming today. Jeremiah, how are you? How are you, brother?
I'm doing good, man. How you feeling?
I'm great. All right, so now we get in the Eagles season. And I know, in your heart, I don't care what other team you played with. In your heart, it's the Eagles. And that's, now you're big with the Eagles. But it's a point where, do you believe what I believe and what some people believe, that this team will be better than last year's team?
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it because they made additions in offseason. They made additions in the draft. They addressed needs. Obviously, we needed to upgrade the receiver position. They did that. I think they got a little bit of depth on the offensive line. You know, we'll get Lane back hopefully for the whole year because that I think that was a turning point in the season last year was losing Lane. That messed up the whole offensive line. It also let us know that we didn't have a lot of depth also. So, you know, I think they addressed the defensive back position. And, I think we're going to be a better team.
You know, Jeremiah, you said, I'm going to go back to something you just said. You hope Lane Johnson's there the whole year. He can't make that same mistake again, can he?
No, he can't. No, he cannot. He cannot. And I don't think he will. You know, whether he made a mistake or not, I don't know. But whatever happened to cause his team,
You played on the other side of the ball, but now you watch Carson Wentz, and you're not there in a huddle with him. I mean, I'm not in a huddle with him, but it looks like he should progress and he will get better, and he's going to be a really good. How good, we don't know. Do you see the same thing in Carson Wentz, that he will be one of those quarterbacks that can get you to the playoffs and then eventually win?
Oh, definitely. He's definitely that guy. He definitely can hit the guy. He's a franchise quarterback. He has all the natural ability, the leadership qualities that it takes to be a great quarterback. And, you know, as long as the offensive line can stay healthy, keep him upright, I think you're going to see him getting better and better.
Try. People ask me that all the time, what do you think about the Eagles? And I say, well, the offense will be better offensive line, better receivers, and they got a running back. You kind of see it the same way?
I see it the exact same way. You know, they addressed all the positions they needed. You know, I know a lot of people felt like, when they asked those veteran guys, in free agency, it was somewhat of a band-aid. But, I think there were so many other needs on their team, they had to go pass rusher on defense. You know, because I remember just sitting back there watching the opposing quarterback just hold the ball all day long. You know, you got to have, in this league, you got to have a pass rusher. And, you know, they saw an opportunity to make moves in the offseason at the receiver position. And I think it's going to pay off for them.
All right, the linebacker position. That's something right on defense. People worry about the corners, but if you get a pass rush, I think the corners will be fine. We'll be okay if you get a better pass rush. But the linebackers are still kind of something that you have to have a little concern about. What is it that they're missing at linebacker?
Say it again, Howard.
What do you think the Eagles could be missing at linebacker?
I don't know. I don't think they're missing it. I like the linebacker position.
You do?
Yeah, I like.
Why do you like the linebacker position?
Because, I mean, those guys are making plays, man. I don't think the linebacker position was one of the weaknesses on the defense. I think there were other areas, like the pass rusher. They needed someone opposite of Brandon Graham. As we all know, Connor Barwin really struggled last year. He had a rough season, mm-hmm. and that's being generous. So,
No,
I'm just being honest, man. He had a rough season, you know. So, you know, with the additions they made, I think linebacker position, first, the inside defensive tackle is one of the stronger positions, obviously, when you got Fletcher Cox in there. And then I think the linebacker position was the second strongest position to me on the team, or less the position that they less needed to upgrade at this time.
Well, you know, Jordan Hicks is good, but Michael Kendricks doesn't seem to get on the field enough, isn't there? I mean, you got, I guess you would have Jordan Hicks, you'd have Nigel Bradham, and Michael Kendricks is very athletic, but for whatever reason, why don't you think he gets on the field as much?
I think, one, injury. Seemed like he can never get healthy, man. I remember seeing him one play last year. He was trying to burst to the ball, and he just didn't seem like he had that burst, almost like he had a hamstring injury or whatever. And, you know, some guys get plagued with injuries, but I think if he can get healthy and he can stay healthy, the linebacking core, you know, is going to be one of the strengths on the defense.
You know, the head coach, Doug Peterson, always in Philadelphia, everybody's going to take heat. I mean, every player takes heat. They all take heat.
Right.
He's taking heat. Do you think at times it's fair, or at times or more times it's unfair?
that goes along the territory. You know that, Howard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody's perfect as a coach. He's a young coach. He's going to learn. He's going to learn from his mistakes. Obviously, you know, there's some calls that was questionable during the season with going forward on fourth down. You got to always take the point. But he's going to learn. I mean, he has an aggressive mentality, and you can't blame a guy for being aggressive. You know, but I think as a young coach, he's going to learn when to be aggressive and when not to be aggressive.
Yeah. All right. So now he makes a comment within the recently that he thinks this team has better talent than the Green Bay Packer teams that went to the Super Bowl. Is that just saying the right thing, or do you? Or there's two ways to look at this. Is he just trying to pump the excitement up and be positive, or does he put a bullseye on his back by saying this?
I don't think it's a bullseye. I think he has the utmost confidence in his guys. You know, just like when he went forward on those fourth down plays, he said he really believed that they could convert. You know, he has confidence in his guys, and you can't blame a coach for having confidence in his guys. And it's his job as a coach not only to put him in the best possible position to make plays on the football field, it's his job as a coach to make sure that they're psychologically ready to play the game also.
Okay, and I understand that. But now that he says there, people, and you know how the media is in this town, Trot, the media will say, well, you said they were better than the Green Bay Packers. And then the first two games are on the road, and if you have trouble in those first two games, it just and I like Doug, and I think he deserves a chance to show what kind of coach he is in his second year. But doesn't that really just put more pressure on him than he's already going to have with this football team?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think, you know, when you got guys that are willing to go out there and play for you and your coach make a statement, I think it puts more pressure on your team to go out there and back up what you're saying. I look at it a little bit like Rex. I remember Rex used to you know, talk a lot in the media about his guys and what they're going to do. You know, to me, I would love a coach like that. So now that puts more pressure on me as a defensive guy to go out and make plays and just to back up what my coach is saying.
So you're okay with it because he's now you think in some way taking the pressure off the players and putting it on himself?
Well, no. He's putting more pressure on his guys to go out and perform.
Okay.
You know? And I don't think it's none. I mean, listen, you got to have confidence as a coach, as a player. No matter what you're doing, like, you got to have confidence. And, you know, I wouldn't put too much onus on, you know, what he said.
You know, last year, and people got on, the media likes to get on people for a lot of things. He, after the Cincinnati game, he said that not everybody gave 100% or played hard or whatever he did say, and people got on him. Do you have a problem? The question really is as a player, if you're playing your ass off and you're playing hard and there's guys on their team that are not giving everything, do you have a problem with the coach saying, hey, listen, there's guys on the team that didn't give everything?
Not at all. Not at all. I don't have a problem with that at all. He didn't call anybody out specifically. He said it as a team. And, you know, those guys are in there watching that tape, breaking it down. They have different – they're seeing things differently than we see them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't have a problem with it at all. Andy Reid at times would call guys out. He never called a guy out personally. He would always say, you know, keep it as a team. As long as you keep it that way, I think it's fine.
So, you know, one of the players, and I think it was Malcolm Jenkins, said, well, it divided people in the locker room. I the guys that I talked to said, hey, listen, I'm happy. I played hard, and I'm happy he called players out. Not, as you said, and we know it wasn't individually. Does that divide a locker room, or does that strengthen the guys that aren't playing hard to just play harder?
No, I don't think it divides a locker room, man. You know, coach, everybody got different opinions on, you know, certain stuff. But, you know, I can only speak on my opinion. I don't think it divides the locker room. I think it put more pressure. It lets guys know that, hey, he's watching the tape. He's watching you. So just make sure you're not one of those guys that are not playing hard.
You know, I want to talk about that, and I want to take you back in time a little bit. Terrell Owens was a terrific player. Yet there was a situation there which, in the way I looked at it, kind of divided the locker room. I know you were on one side of it. Other players were on the other side of it with T.O. Did T.O., as good as he was, kind of create problems by bringing it on himself, by dividing that locker room?
You know, I think T.O. brought problems on himself because T.O. was T.O., you know.
He sure
and,
was.
You know, what T.O. didn't understand, he could, stuff that other people get away with saying, he couldn't do it because he was T.O. And the media just, every word he said, the media just ate it up. You know, I didn't feel like it divided the locker room per se. I just feel like the whole situation between him and Donovan and all that stuff, it was a distraction because we wasn't talking football. We was talking other things. Everything else but football.
And did you feel it? Now, the team had success getting to the Super Bowl, but for future, do you think that's kind of the beginning of the end for T.O.?
Well, I don't think T.O. started having issues until, you know, because T.O. never changed. He was still T.O. that first year we went to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Yeah. T.O. started having issues when he wanted a new contract and he didn't get it.
Right.
So, you know, I think that's where the problem is. You know, people want to point out the situation with Donovan. You know, that was part of it, you know. But ultimately, it was T.O. outplayed his contract. He wanted a new contract, and, you know, Eagles can give it to him.
The NFL is so much different. I look at I don't know how much you follow the NBA. The NBA, every year you go into a season, and three or four teams are the only teams that really have a chance to win a championship. In the NFL, I've always, and it sounds like you agree with that, in the NFL, how good is it for the players to know there might be 8 to 10 teams that actually have a chance to go to the Super Bowl? Do you kind of look at it that way?
Yeah, it's always, I mean, now you always going to have a team, there's always that one team that get hot, You look at, I think, Carolina a couple years ago got hot, and they were just playing well at the time. And you pretty much know who they are from the time the season starts. You know, within the first three or four games, who has the potential to Super Bowl. And then then you have your second, just like in any sport. Then you have your second-tier teams that are trying to get there, trying to rebuild every year. But it ain't no secret. Patriots got a chance to be in the Super Bowl every single year.
Yeah, they have a chance, but so do other wild card teams. Actually, it's happened that wild card teams have won the Super Bowl. So that creates just that it's almost like until the last few weeks, it seems like a football team's really never out of it unless you're really awful.
Right, right. And once you get in playoffs, it's a whole new ball game. You know, it's all about who's healthy, who's playing well at the time, who's gelling at the time, and. You know, because it's not always the best team that wins. You know, if you're hot, man, and you kind of ride that to the playoffs, you know, that's why teams try to pace themselves and just continue to build each and every week, just trying to get better.
All right, I know the hope is always there that the Eagles were going to get to a Super Bowl at some time. I don't think it's going to be this year, but I kind of look at them as a possible playoff team. What do you think this Eagles team can do this season?
I think they're a playoff team. You know, everybody want to talk about Dallas and how good they are, which they are a good football team. But I think the Eagles are right there or better because, you know, we went into Dallas last year and should have won the football game. You know, just a play here, the one fumble, you know, at the end of the game. Maybe we take a field goal there to go up by 2 and we win the game. So, you know, I think we're right there with those other teams.
Why do you think they're better? Why do you think they could be better than Dallas?
Because when I look at the offensive line, Dallas is somewhat dull, has the best offensive line. But I think the Eagles have the best pass-blocking offensive line, which is what they like to do, pass the football. They're solid. They're running back now. I mean, you talked about Wentz earlier. I think they're right there. I think they can match Dallas in points. Not a lot of teams that can do that. And, you know, and the defense got better this year. So, you know, we got a first-round draft pick, and he looked – and from what I'm hearing, he has all the moves. He got every move in the motor. A lot of people are comparing a little bit to Trent Cole with his engine that he has. So I think we're right there or a little ahead.
You know what's interesting? People look at Dak Prescott as, oh, it's great. Well, there was it doesn't seem like there was pressure on him last year because there was no expectations. How much has it changed for a player, and I'm talking specifically about Dak Prescott, change for a player when now all of a sudden the expectations are you have to do it, not, well, let's see if you can do it. Does that really change, hurt a player and change a lot for Dak Prescott?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Dak is Dak, man. He came out last year. I think what you see is what you're going to see for the most part of his career. I mean, he's smart. He's well ahead of his time. It definitely helps when you have the best offensive line in the game. Definitely helps when you go out and draft Ezekiel Elliott, who is one of the best, if not the best, running back in football right now. So he came into a really, really good situation. But, I mean, you can't take away anything from him because he's well ahead of his time mentally for the game. And, you know, he went out and played well last year. You got to take your hat off and give credit where credit is due.
Do you think Wentz could be a better in terms of a numbers, a better quarterback than Prescott this year?
Without a doubt. I mean, without a doubt, man. Because, you looked at what he could do those first 4 or 5 games when he had Lane at the right tackle position. And then when he lost Lane, I mean, that clock was so much faster. You know, I think the next week they went to Washington, and the outside linebacker had like 3 sacks in the first 4.
You know, so, I almost look at it, if Wentz was on Dallas last year and Prescott was on the Eagles, Wentz would have had that year and Prescott would not have. Even though we agree that they're both talented. You kind of look at it the same way. It's kind of like you're a product of what that team is.
I think Wentz could have had the same year if Lane stays, you know, in the ball game.
Really?
If Lane is with the team, yeah. I mean, if you look at the first 4 games before Lane went out, Wentz was he was going to be the rookie of the year. He was on pace to be the rookie of the year, without a doubt. And then Lane got hurt, and it all went downhill from there.
You know, so
I mean, not get hurt, but he got suspended.
Yeah, right. He got suspended for 10 games, which is not really a good thing. And the thing with the Cowboys, now let's be honest about it, those guys got to stay on the field and not get suspended. Because I would say there's going to be some kind of suspension. Why is it the Cowboys always seem to find those problems?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's one incident that he had, situation he got into. I mean, coming out in draft, I didn't hear anything bad about Elliott. People got to understand, these are young kids coming out. I mean, 20, 21, 22-year-old, just making a lot. Don't make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes, man. You got to live from it. And they're expecting those guys to go out every day and don't make any mistakes. And that's sadly a mistake. You know, a lot of people that are talking about, suspending, you know, this and that, they're like they never made mistakes. You know, and I bet if we go back and uncover a lot of things they did at the age of 22, 23,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think you know, they have a little different outlook on things.
All right, so I'm going to give you a couple of trends or statistics, whatever you want to call them, and then I'm going to ask you the question. The Dallas Cowboys have not had back-to-back double-digit win seasons since 2002. This team, the NFC East division winner, has not repeated for 12 years. So with that being the case, do you think the Eagles will win the division this year?
Yeah, I think so.
And because they're that good?
Because they're good. Like I said last year, that was about 3 to 4 games they handed it to the other team. Can you agree on that?
Yep, I agree with that.
If they don't just hand them the win on the platter, we're not really having a conversation.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, so they're going to win the NFC East. They're going to win one playoff game. Are we on board with that?
I'm on board with that.
Okay. There you go. Hey, Trot, it's always a pleasure. I'm sure I'll see you around. Hey, you know, you got to rip the Cowboys a little bit more. Let's face it, Zeke Elliott still has this domestic violence thing hanging over his head from college.
I hate the Cowboys. I hate the Cowboys, man. I mean, I hate the Cowboys, but at the same time, you know, the team is a good football team. They're a good football team. Now, like I said, I think the Eagles are right there with them. And those games, even when there's a big difference between the teams, if you're playing in the NFC, it always balances out.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got two teams that are somewhat similar. It's gonna be good football on Sunday, man.
Why is it so easy to hate the Cowboys?
I don't know. I learned that early on in my career. I remember, as a rookie, you learn real quick that it's Dallas week. I mean, the tension, you can feel the tension. You can feel it's there's a little bit more extra preparation, a little bit more hustling practice, a little bit more attended to details, you know. And you're like, man, are we in the playoffs or what? You know, but you understand really quick that when it's Dallas week, it's go time.
All right. I'll see you out there. Trot, it's always my pleasure talking to you. The Axeman cometh.
All right, I'll take it easy.
All right, thanks, man. Thanks a lot. Okay, so Trotter doesn't like the Cowboys. He does like the Eagles. Thinks they'll win the NFC East. I actually think they have a good chance to win the NFC East, but there is a lot of pressure on Doug Peterson. I don't think Doug Peterson did himself any good by saying that this team, talent-wise, is better than the Packers that went to the Super Bowls that he was associated with. The Packers were good. The Eagles might be good, but, you know, when you have Brett Favre and you have Reggie White, it's hard to compare teams when you put it in that situation. But I think, to be fair, and here's what you people should really do, and I know it's hard for people to do in Philadelphia, depending on happens each week. There's an ebb and flow each week. The Eagles, I think, have to split the first two games of the season. And I think they have to win in Washington because it's so tough to win in Kansas City. But they have to split before they come home. They play their first two games on the road. And then they play the Giants, which will not be an easy game. Because the Giants might be the second-best team in the NFC East. I don't think the Cowboys are going to be there this year, and I don't think Washington's going to be there. There's too much drama there. But the thing is, Doug Peterson is now targeted himself because of what he said, and I don't know if it was a good thing. It's one thing to be positive, it's another thing, it's another thing to put yourself out there. But I think people have to give him a chance. He was a rookie head coach with a rookie quarterback who didn't know he was starting for the Eagles until 8 days before the first game of the season. So, you know, there'll be plenty of time to talk about the Eagles. We'll get in the camp. They'll see what players. I mean, Alshon Jeffrey obviously has got to make a difference. Torrey Smith has got to make a difference. LeGarrette Blount's going to make a difference. But their offensive line is pretty good. So we'll talk about that more during the season. All right, let me get into the 76ers. And I look at the summer league, and again, you've got to be careful. You got to be careful when you judge things based on the summer league, because it's what it is in the NBA is pickup basketball. But we see that Lonzo Ball can play. Now, his father is just a pain in the ass and a distraction to what's really going on. But we're talking about him, but he's doing it. His triple doubles, again, it's the summer league. His triple doubles in the summer league, do they mean anything? They mean he can play. So when you look, this is what is when you look back on it. First, let me say this. I think Brian Colangelo, if Markelle Fultz is the point, and they needed a point guard. I still don't think, and I'll say this until we absolutely see, I don't think Ben Simmons is a point guard. I don't think he should be the point guard. And because of that, I don't know that Markelle Fultz can play off the ball. But with all that said, if they felt they needed a point guard just to be sure, then Brian Colangelo really did have to make the trade. But you may hate the Boston Celtics, dislike Danny Ainge, but what he did was fascinating because he wanted Jason Tatum all along. That's the player he wanted out of the draft. And with that being the case, if the Boston Celtics could not have made a trade, they would have taken Jason Tatum. The Lakers would have taken Lonzo Ball, and then Markelle Fultz would have been there for the Sixers at number three. Now, can they use all those picks? No, and it's just, it's not the end of the world that you gave up the first round pick, the pick you had from the Lakers for the first round. It's not that big a deal. But when you look, and this is what's amazing, when you look at the rookies in the league, coming out of the league, I think there might be five players that are better than Markelle Fultz. Not that, and again, let me just be clear about this. I think Markelle Fultz is going to be a very good player. He's clearly going to be a very good player. But Jason Tatum may be the best player to come out of the draft. Lonzo Ball, if not the best, is probably the second best player. Josh Jackson has a good chance to be a better player. Dennis Smith, who's really played well in the summer league. He's really good. I'll put Markelle Fultz ahead of him. De'Aaron Fox is really a good player. So Markelle Fultz is clearly maybe the third best player, and he may be the fifth or sixth best player coming out. But what's fascinating is how these guys are going to play and how they're going to fit into their team. I think Lonzo Ball will fit well because the Lakers kind of needed everything. But the odds, it's interesting to look at the odds. There are odds out for the rookie of the year in the NBA. The favorite is Lonzo Ball at 5-2. The second favorite is Ben Simmons at 3-1. But I don't think Ben Simmons is going to win the rookie of the year. I think neither Ben Simmons and Markelle Fultz, because they play on the same team and they'll split the votes. And I don't know what Ben Simmons is, and we don't know what Ben Simmons is. And there'll be so much more hype and excitement over Lonzo Ball and Jason Tatum because the Celtics will be good. But all right, let me give you the odds. So the second favorite is Ben Simmons at 3-1. The third favorite to win the Rookie of the Year is Markelle Fultz at 5-1. De'Aaron Fox is 7-1, and Jason Tatum is 9-1. I still think Jason Tatum has a really good chance, but I don't know how anybody's going to beat out Lonzo Ball because he's going to get – well, and we'll see what the numbers are. But those are the odds when it comes down to what the Rookie of the Year in Las Vegas. And in some places, you can't bet it everywhere. In some places, you can bet it. But those are the odds for the player winning the Rookie of the Year. And in baseball, do we really need to talk about the Phillies? It's just, it's sad that this team is that bad. But I don't think once football camp starts and once we get into football, we're not going to talk about the Phillies anyway. They really do need to make trades. I continue to say this. I don't think Mikel Franco and Odubel Herrera will be here within 2 years. But it's just I can't go forward with those players on this baseball team because they always fall back into ruts. And I don't care if either one of them gets hot at one time. I just don't think you're a winning team for the future with those players on your team. All right, enough of the Phillies. And just to cap this off in episode number 13 of the Howard Eskin podcast, I do not want, in no way, shape, or form, LeBron LaFraud James to be signed by the Sixers in the next year. And I don't think they're going to sign. I don't think they're going to sign a top free agent. And because there's so many players on their team that come up for contracts, they'll be so far over the cap in the next 3 or 4 years. There's no way Josh Harris is going to pay a luxury tax. But I don't want LeBron James because he's got to be the focus. He's got to be the guy. And he will always be the highest paid player on a team. That's why I don't think he's going to go to the Lakers. But I just don't want LeBron James because he's too insecure. He's a great player. I won't take that away from him. But he's so insecure, he's always got to be the focus. He's always got to be the man. And I think it would screw things up for the 76ers. And as far as their salaries, it would really mess it up with all these other salaries coming up. And a final note on the 76ers and what they're doing to the fans. They can spin it any way they want. And the Sixers and Scott O'Neill, who's the master of spin, he is the true spin doctor. I don't care what they say. By them coming out and making such a hard pitch, when I said on WIP that the Sixers haven't sold 14,000 season tickets, nobody knows for real except Scott O'Neill and Josh Harris. And they should have just kept their mouth shut because now it becomes a focus and there's too many people that don't believe them. But beyond that, whether they are telling the truth or they're not telling the truth, and there's questions, there's a question either way. To charge people a $200 deposit, which is non-refundable for a 10-game plan, and you don't know what your seats are, so when they call you back with your seats, your locations, and you don't like them, you lose your $200. This 76 club, which is a bunch of hocus pocus, and the Sixers will tell you that they have a waiting list where it doesn't cost you anything. Well, you know you're not going to be a preference if you're not paying for it. It's not even money that goes towards your tickets if you do decide to purchase season tickets. It's so unfair. It's so wrong. It's the only team in sports that I know of, and I've checked. It's the only team in sports where the money doesn't go towards your tickets. And if you don't like your tickets, you can't get a refund. It's amazing. They're just wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. They screwed people for all these years. And I had a friend who had a 10-game plan, good locations. They called them up. They had a rep. There is no ticket office, so it's all about StubHub. So you don't even know what the price of the tickets are. It's all about StubHub, and that will set the market, will set the price, and they'll raise or lower it, and that's wrong too. But they advertise for StubHub, but you're not allowed to sell more than 10 games on your season tickets, or you can have your season tickets revoked. But the way they're doing it is so wrong. But I had a friend who had a 10-game plan. They called him up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, got his voicemail, he called his business. Oh, you're going to get the voicemail a lot of times. You got the business. My friend called back the next morning at 10 a.m. Oh, we've already taken your tickets we're using for a full season. Now, that is flat out wrong. What they're doing is wrong, and they're trying to have people put out the fire and spin it a different way. They are wrong. They gave the fans of Philadelphia absolute total garbage. And they're a better team, and I have nothing against the basketball team. They're better. I have nothing against the coach because I think he's a really great guy. I think he's a good teacher. We'll see how good a coach he is. The pressure's on him this year. I like Brian Colangelo. The basketball part of it is fine. The business part of it in the front office, they are absolutely a ruthless, ruthless organization. And it's not trust the process. It is trust the profits. All right, We will be back next week. Hopefully you got something out of episode number 13, the Howard Eskin podcast, always available free of charge. You can subscribe on iTunes.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.